everyone, and welcome back to the O'Leary Partners Observations Podcast, where we provide unique insights from influential Floridian professionals, UBS thought leaders, and other distinguished voices within our UBS O'Leary Partners network. Today's episode is titled Chomping the Bear with UBS CIO, Florida Gators Triumph as a Blueprint for Market Success. I'm your host, Gabrielle O'Leary, a financial advisor for the O'Leary Partners at UBS Private Wealth Management. I'm located in Miami, Florida, and I can be reached at 305-536-9241 or gabrielle.o'leary@ubs.com. Our special guest here today is Matthew Tormey, a U.S. equity strategist from UBS CIO. I'd like to kick off this episode by saying, if you know me, you know I'm a big basketball fan. So I couldn't resist tying today's episode into the incredible story we just witnessed earlier this month in April. The Florida Gators pulled off a thrilling NCAA men's basketball championship win over the Houston Cougars. The Gators led for just 64 seconds the entire game, but staged an unforgettable comeback, proving that once again, resilience, strategy, and staying calm under pressure can change everything. And just maybe, there's a little market wisdom hidden in that story too. So I'm really fired up for today's episode because we got the perfect guest to break it all down. I'd like to welcome Matthew Tormey, a U.S. equity strategist from UBS CIO, to the OPO podcast.
Hi, Gabrielle. Great to be with you.
Likewise. And just to give the audience a quick background on Matt, he's a proud Gator who spent plenty of time cheering in the stands during his days at the University of Florida. And even now, living in New York City, he'll tell you that he still dreams about a slice from Satchel's Pizza. Between his Gator pride and his sharp eye in the markets, Matt's the ideal person to help us connect Florida's big win to what's happening in the markets today. Thanks for being here, Matt. Go Gators.
Go Gators, Gabrielle.
All right, Matt, before we dive into the markets, let's really start with the basics here. Can you define what exactly a bear market is and typically what triggers one?
Yes. So here in CIO, we define a bear market as an episode where U.S. large cap stocks fall by at least 20% from a recent peak. And the term bear market can be applied to essentially any equity index, such as the NASDAQ or the Russell 2000. But we believe it's most appropriate to apply the term when the S&P 500 index experiences this magnitude of a decline, given its sector diversity, the number of companies in the index, and the fact that the index is generally accepted as a good representation of the current state of the overall U.S. equity market. Now, in our view, this is only one of two periods during the bear market experience, which we refer to as the drawdown period. The second period we call the recovery period, which is the time that it takes for stocks to register another all-time high. So once this happens, then we view a bear market as being over. And so the last part of your question, Gabrielle, there have historically been a number of triggers that have caused bear markets. And these triggers have typically been major events, with a few examples being such as wars, financial or debt crises, Fed tightening periods, and as we learned recently, global pandemics.
Got it. Great. Thanks so much for setting the stage. I think it's so important to understand what we're really talking about when headlines get so noisy. So let's build on that, because at the O'Leary Partners, we get this question all the time, and I'd love to hear your perspective on, are we in a bear market right now, or do you think that we're heading towards one?
Right. So just really getting straight to the point, no, we don't believe we're currently in a bear market, as the S&P 500 has not yet breached the 20% decline threshold, although we did get really close when the index dipped below the 5,000 level around the beginning of April. Now, it's really tough to correctly forecast a bear market, as on our data, there have only been 12 since 1945. So while it is possible, given the current volatility in U.S. equity markets, we think investors should be more focused on the outlook and where we go from here. So in our base case, we do have an attractive view on U.S. equities, meaning that we expect solid upside over roughly the next 6 to 12 months. And the catalyst for this view was triggered after President Trump's announcement that there would be a 90-day pause on the implementation of the reciprocal tariffs, because what this suggested to us was that the president is attuned to the economic and market risks of tariff policies, which was something that was unclear to investors up until that point. And if there is one thing that investors and markets really do not like, it's policy uncertainty. So if we have reached the peak in policy uncertainty, then we believe stocks can resume their march higher again.
That's a great insight. I really appreciate you breaking that down. I believe that whether it's on the basketball court or in our portfolios, emotions can sometimes take over. And usually that's not in a good way. So Matt, how do you think advisor teams can help clients navigate the behavioral side of investing in times like these?
Yeah, so times like these can cause plenty of concerns and lead to, as you mentioned, Gabrielle, all sorts of different types of emotions. But one thing we here in CIO have been recommending advisor teams do is to remind their clients, don't panic. One of the main reasons why you even have your financial advisor is exactly for times like these, to make sure that you have developed a financial plan and constructed a portfolio that helps you meet your objectives and goals over different time periods. And I think that last point is very important because as a client, you don't just have one time horizon. Some of your portfolio will be used to help you meet your spending needs over the next year, while some of it won't be spent for perhaps another 20 years. And it's over a 20-year time horizon that the broad stock market hasn't lost money when we look at S&P 500 data since 1926. So while a lot of the nervousness that arises is because individuals are so fixated on short-term performance, which can be sharply negative on any given day for various reasons, it's important to remind investors that historically, the frequency of positive returns versus negative returns over increasing time horizons becomes even greater. And finally, if we look at the amount of time U.S. large cap stocks have spent in different market environments, they've been in a bull market for roughly 70% of the time versus 30% of the time in a bear market. So as investors, we believe it's important to be of the mindset that since markets have historically spent less than a third of the time in a bear market, instead of thinking of markets as a cycle or a clock, markets probably behave more like a runaway train over the longer term, and we need to do our best to keep up with the train, which rarely stops and never truly goes backwards.
I love what you said about not panicking during these kind of markets. I truly think that's key. And a lot of your points just resonated in regards to how our team, the O'Leary Partners, are staying proactive with our clients and the importance that you have to place on being empathetic. And to your point earlier about educational, right? It's so important to keep that regular communication, especially during periods of volatility, and to continuously keep reminding clients to focus on their long-term goals, not short-term headlines. Essentially, discipline over emotion. And just like the Gators chipped away little by little to make their comeback, smart investors can find windows of opportunity too. So Matt, walk us through this. Are there opportunities that investors can look for during bear markets?
Definitely. So before diving right into the opportunities, I think the first point to make is that investors should recognize that historically, forward returns have been attractive once the equity market crosses over into bear market territory. So while bear markets can be painful for investors, with the S&P 500 declining by about 34% on average since World War II, once the 20% threshold is reached, the average S&P 500 return over the next 1, 2, and 3 years has been 13%, 25%, and 29% respectively. So I just wanted to first make this point that for investors with medium and longer term time horizons, the best strategy may be just to be patient or look for ways to re-engage in the market. And this brings me to the first of three opportunities I wanted to mention. First, while every bear market's different, one constant is that there are always dislocations that arise in the market that can provide opportunities to enhance returns. So here in CIO, we recommend re-engaging with risk assets, such as equities, when market prices may seem out of line with fundamentals, and for investors that work closely with their financial advisors to make sure they are well prepared for bear markets, it may be appropriate to unwind some of your portfolio hedges that you may have put into place and increase risk temporarily to take advantage of the higher return potential. Now, the second opportunity, use this time to harvest capital losses, which can add a bit of incremental value to your after-tax portfolio returns. And if you are properly managing your portfolio, rebalancing can also potentially enhance upside by ensuring your portfolio doesn't drift too far from your target allocation. And third, during times like this, we would recommend investors look for ways to increase their savings rate or cut back on spending, because while you wait for the market to fully recover its losses, tapping into some of the spending resources you've allocated for the short term, such as your borrowing capacity or spending down your cash in high quality bonds, can help you avoid locking in otherwise temporary losses in your long-term investments.
You've given us a lot to think about there. And of course, it helps to have a good game plan. And speaking of that, let's reveal UBS's playbook for this uncertain and volatile market environment. Can you share with us what the UBS CIO is recommending for portfolios right now?
Yeah, this is a great question, Gabrielle, because the volatility that we're seeing in markets right now has many investors confused and unsure about what to do. And that's why here in CIO, we're recommending investors to focus on the longer term opportunity that lies ahead, because this is where the biggest opportunities to grow your wealth are in times like now. And we think that the best way to do this is through our transformational innovation opportunities that we've identified, which we call trios. Now, what are these trios that I'm referring to? So we do have three of them here in CIO, which are artificial intelligence, power and resource innovation, and longevity. And these three areas are where we anticipate to see the greatest upside based on our assessment of the addressable market and of the potential for companies to earn meaningful profits. So having exposure to these areas is very important in our view, because there is one statistic that's worth reminding investors about, and that's over the last 30 years, only 1% of firms have created more than 80% of net wealth in global equity markets. So through artificial intelligence, power and resource innovation, and longevity, we attempt to identify the stocks that we believe are leveraged to these secular growth drivers, and that could play a role in the vast majority of value that's generated over the years to come.
Wow, really thoughtful perspective on the trios. So let's dig into that a little bit more. What are your thoughts on which sectors or asset classes might be more resilient in this environment?
Of course. So within U.S. equity specifically, there are four sectors that we currently have attractive views on, and that's communication services, healthcare, information technology, and utilities. And I'd characterize these sectors that we expect to be more resilient in this environment as being selective with where we want to take AI and defensive exposure, right? So on AI for tech, it's clear. For communication services, you have a few of the largest companies in the world investing lots of money in the technology because they not only understand how important it is to keep their competitive advantage, but they will also benefit greatly from continued adoption and monetization, which we expect to improve sharply this year. And on utilities, although not the obvious pick as being an AI beneficiary, about 20 to 25% or so of the sector does have material exposure to AI trends and should benefit from the significant growth we're expecting in AI data centers that will likely drive strong growth in power demand and lift power prices. And then also on the defensive exposure within our sector recommendations, healthcare and utilities are viewed as classic defensive sectors that should behave more resiliently if economic growth slows further than expected. But also within communication services, you do have the telecom companies that can provide this as well. Now, just turning briefly to CIO's recommendations outside of equities, within commodities, gold has been a standout performer this year. And despite this strong performance, we believe there's still further upside driven by additional demand from central banks, institutions, and private investors. And another observation I'd make is that positioning is still below the peaks observed during gold's previous multi-year bull run after the financial crisis. And in fixed income, CIO currently has attractive views on U.S. agency MBS, U.S. IG corporate fixed income, and senior loans.
It's a very clear explanation, Matt, and I appreciate that concise summary. So Matt, let's bring it all home. Let's envision that you're the Gators head coach, Todd Golden. If you could give one locker room style pep talk to investors who are feeling nervous right now, what's that one piece of advice you'd give to concerned clients?
Yeah, so if I put myself in the shoes of Todd Golden, right, I think that his piece of advice to the players in the locker room or concerned investors right now would come from a familiar saying among the investing community, and that's time in the market matters more than timing the market. And I believe this advice is very applicable today because we have heard of too many instances where volatility becomes overwhelming for investors and they head for the exits and sit in cash. And while this feels like the best way to reduce risk, it usually does the opposite by turning temporary losses into permanent losses. So for clients, there are three lessons that we can take away from this saying that we here in CIO believe are very important. First, market losses are rare, short-lived, and impossible to reliably forecast. Second, bear markets often offer a rare chance to buy at yesterday's prices. And third, market timing doesn't add value unless everything goes right.
Very well said. Couldn't have said it better myself. Also, I'd like to add that volatility is a normal part of market cycles. Rather than reacting to short-term fluctuations, we're reminding our client, you gotta stay anchored to your financial plan, which is built around your specific goals, your time horizon, and your risk tolerance. If you don't have a financial plan or you haven't updated yours in a while, now is the perfect time to make this a priority. And I believe it's also really important to emphasize Matt's remarks that stock market returns are not linear. In fact, here's a real life example from 2024 I'd like to bring to light. There were actually 29 instances where the S&P 500 index sold off more than 1% in a day. And if you were to add up all of those losses, you're down 44%. Yet the index finished the year positive 25%. The moral of the story here is volatility in investing is like a tough road in basketball. You're going to face pressure, you're going to have momentum swings, and maybe even a bad call. But you got to stay focused on your game plan and just keep playing. And you give yourself the best shot at winning in the long run, just like the Gators. And just like championships aren't won in a single game, wealth isn't built without riding some of those ups and downs. So Matt, thank you so much for being here today. It's been a really fun and informative conversation. And for everyone listening, whether it's investing or basketball, fundamentals never go out of style. And as always, if you'd like to continue the conversation or you need a second opinion on your current financial strategy, our team is always happy to help. I'd love to connect, whether it's to talk about markets, planning for volatility, or even a little basketball. We'll catch you next time on the O'Leary Partners Observation Podcast. Take care now.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.